Well, has anyone here ever been seriously lost, really lost? Or have you ever lost something really important to you, like your car keys, never found them? You know that feeling, don't you? You're just lost completely at sea without them. Well, we've just heard two very well-known stories. They probably feature in every children's Bible, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of a lost coin. When I read the first one, did it bring to mind cuddly images of shepherds carrying sheep across their shoulders? Well, this is me in the high mountains of the French Alps, and we certainly saw shepherds carrying sheep across their shoulders here, and sheep wandered off to some very precarious places, and actually some of them were so steep there that the shepherd couldn't get them. He had to send the dogs around to chase them back. The sheep went everywhere. So let's think a bit more about these two stories, which are both about something being lost and then found. These parables in Luke chapter 15 are part of a section that also includes the story of the lost son, that we otherwise call the prodigal son. And Jesus was speaking here to a whole crowd of people who were gathering round, and that included those who were committed disciples, those wavering on the margins, and also some Pharisees who were listening in and muttering critically. They were criticizing Jesus because of who he was spending time with. He wasn't focusing on the respectable people, the religious people like them, the in crowd, but on those who were considered to be sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the people on the margins, those who were outside the group of religious people, or those who outside the group considered to be respectable, acceptable people. And they criticized him because he was even eating with them, which was the ultimate sign of acceptance, of going to somebody's house to share a meal, of wanting to build good relationships with them. By accepting their hospitality and investing time in them, Jesus was communicating that they were of value to him, even if others had written them off. When he did this, lives were changed. You might remember the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, which we hear about in Luke chapter 19. He turned his life around when Jesus came to his house. Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. He wanted to include them in God's transforming love, not reject them. Jesus was good news for people who were lost. So what does it mean to be lost? Well, we've just sung Amazing Grace. That was written by John Newton. It's a great hymn written by someone who knew he'd gone seriously wrong in his life. He spent years being a slave trader, being responsible for thousands of people being taken from their homes into slavery in the 1700s. In the first verse, you remember that line? I once was lost, but now I'm found. He wrote that about himself. He knew from personal experience what it was to be lost in a seriously dark place, doing unspeakably awful things to other people, going in the wrong direction in life. And then he came to faith in Jesus. He was found by God. Eventually, he realized that he could work for good, and he became a leading campaigner in the abolition of slavery. And I'm sure he was powerfully motivated by knowing that he had been forgiven by God and knowing how much he'd received from God despite his past behavior. Well, in the parable of the lost sheep, God is compared to a man with 100 sheep. I think if you or I had 100 sheep, I'm not sure we'd notice if one was missing, but this man did. And I'm not sure whether the lost sheep knew it was lost, but the man noticed and he left the 99 in a safe place in the open country. They were together and they were safe, and he left them and went off to look for that lost sheep, because it was valuable to him. You could think of this that the 99 are not lost, they're part of the flock. They're not being abandoned. But he noticed that one was missing, and the flock was diminished without that one being present. There was something incomplete about his flock without it. So he did something and went to search for it. Whatever made that sheep wander off, it sounds like it had worn itself out by the time he found it, because it needed to be carried back. The man still cared for that sheep, even though it had been willful. He wanted it to turn around. You could think of that as he wanted it to repent. That means repent, means turn around, and come back, change direction, come back into the fold. In the parable of the lost coin, God is compared to a woman. Quite why she has 10 silver coins, we don't know. Those coins were worth a day's wages. That's a lot of money. It may have been a dowry from when she got married, something that gave her security for the future. But again, she noticed one was missing, and she took the initiative to search for it. These are physical things, but sometimes we talk about being lost in a different sense, a sense of not knowing where we're going in life or not knowing where we are with God. My daughter is someone who loves to be in wild spaces, and she likes to go to the west coast of Scotland. She was there last week in a very remote place, staying in a bothy, and she always hitchhikes when she goes. And she told me a story of a man who'd given her a lift last week, who was 48, and he'd only just realised what he wanted in life. He'd spent his life pursuing something and working hard and just doing the wrong thing, and he'd finally realised that what he really wanted to do was be in the mountains and go climbing every weekend. And so that's what he did. He'd found meaning and purpose. And he was telling her, she's 24, he was telling her how long it had taken him to realise what gave him a sense of purpose in life. It's never too late. Some people don't discover that until much later. There's someone whose articles I read who wrote about a lady who came to Christian faith in her 50s. She realised she needed to sort her life out, and she decided to go to an Alpha course. And she wrote about it, saying, "It's really hard to put into words what it felt like becoming a Christian. It's just changed everything in my life. The best way I can describe it is that it's like being a child who's got lost, separated from its parents in a supermarket, and now has suddenly been found. That sense of relief and the end of worry, that's how I felt." Coming back to the gospel reading, did you notice how each parable ended? It was all about joy, the joy of finding the thing that was lost, the lost sheep or the lost coin. And the story describes in very similar words each time, to emphasise the point, the joy and the fact that somebody wanted to rejoice together with their friends and neighbours, the shared joy in finding what was lost. "Likewise," says Jesus, "this is how God will be, rejoicing with the heavenly beings over one sinner who turns his life around, who finds what is missing in his life, who turns towards God and away from what is leading him astray, and who receives forgiveness." And the joy seems to be the whole point of the parable, not that the sheep or the coin was lost, but the joy in finding it, in it being received back where it belongs. It's a very communal thing. God rejoicing with the angels and people rejoicing with each other. In our first reading, St. Paul, who had a history every bit as bad as John Newton, also writes with great thankfulness that despite everything he'd done in the past, he, the worst of sinners, as he calls himself, received grace and love and forgiveness from God, and an important job to do in building the church. Remember, Paul was a murderer. He incited persecution of Christians. He was violent and badly behaved towards others before he met with the risen Christ on the Damascus Road. He must have never forgotten that deep sense of shame as he realised what he'd actually been doing up till that point, but also the huge sense of gratitude as he realised what he was capable of when God was in his life and helped him to turn it round. He was truly someone who was lost and was then found by God, even though he didn't realise he was lost before. He thought he was pursuing the right thing, the right cause. Not only does he truly believe that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, but he believes that the grace of God at work in his own life has a purpose far wider than sorting himself out. It was to be an inspiration to others, a demonstration of the change that is possible, and something that drew other people into a relationship with Jesus. And when Paul's writing in that letter to Timothy, he's reflecting on his own life and his renewed awareness of just how much grace has been at work in him despite all his faults. And that leads him at the end of our reading today to praise God. He says, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever." We can all of us still wander off like a lost sheep, even while attending church regularly. It's about where we are in our hearts. And it's always good to stop and reflect from time to time about where we're going, where we are, where we're going in life, and where we're going with God. We may not think of ourselves as sinners exactly. Sinner is a very condemnatory term, but that really means those who are outside the purposes of God. There will be times when we wander away from what's best for us and from a closer relationship with Jesus. The message of the gospel is that every time we turn around and turn back and look to Jesus and trust God more and desire a closer relationship, every time we try to live out our lives with a more living Christian faith, there is a heavenly party going on. God is rejoicing. And the message from St. Paul is a question, really. Which way are we going? Are we responding to the grace of God at work in our lives in outward-looking ways? Are we willing to go out and look for those who've wandered off and to encourage them home? Or are we just looking to our own interests? Well, that's something to reflect on in the coming days this week. Amen.